Well, hello again, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is a good opportunity to call 844-322-2742. Got a Bible question? Some topic of discussion? Call now. The number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Love is kind. Love is patient. We've talked about that over the last 2 days. And, you know, we would love to hear from our listeners on how, in what ways they have seen God's love to be kind and patient in their lives. But when you look at that and realize that love is patient and love is kind, then you have to come to a conclusion it can't be envious. And that's the next line in the definition. Love does not envy. That is an emotion that we certainly see out there in the world. There's a lot of envy out there in the world, and people are willing to do just about anything to get what they want. You know, they get ticked off because somebody else has an advantage that they don't have. They get mad because somebody has something that they want and can't get. So they try to sabotage those people in order to get what they have so they can have some happiness. At least that's what they think. So really the root of envy is a heart that's not content. It's absolutely not content, and that's why it's in no way any part of God. God is perfectly content with who he is. I mean, there's not one person on this planet that he steps back and says, oh, if I could only be in his shoes for a day, if I could only be Bill Gates for a day or Warren Buffett for a day, or if I could just play basketball like LeBron James for a day, boy, would I be a happy camper. God doesn't do that. Why? Because he is perfectly content with who he is. That's why he can reach out and love us. That's why he can be patient with us. And that's why he can do things on our behalf to save us, to benefit us, to you know, to have our best interest at heart. Why? Because God isn't envious of us. He is very content in who he is. And as this love of God really reaches down inside of us, that's the one thing that we start to see happening. We become content as individuals. We become content and regardless of how much money we have or how little money we have, because we have the love of God in both situations. So contentment is one of those things that really starts to grow inside of us. As contentment starts to grow inside of us, then our love for others starts to grow as well. So let's talk about today this concept, this reality of contentment, and we would love to hear from our listeners to tell us their story of how the love of God led to contentment in their own lives. I think this could be a very encouraging broadcast. So if you have a story to tell, we would love to hear it about how you have become content in Jesus Christ.
Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone, as Bob suggested. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Guys, want to start the program with a delightful email from our dear friend Teresa in Wantagh, New York. She wrote to say, please let callers know that many of us who listen pray for them. Also, thank you for the Friday teaching series. She says, I am eager to receive the books and study guides, I just ordered to do a summer study on Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I also ask my family in Christ to consider becoming a partner with Basic Gospel with monthly donations. There's nothing better than being part of a ministry so willing to share the good news of Jesus in truth, in such love, so simply, and with such grace as you all do each day. My life has changed because of you all. Again, that's from Teresa in Wantagh, New York, and just a dear, dear friend she has become.
Yes, indeed. And Richard and I had the chance to meet her face-to-face along with her son, Austin. And this whole ministry has just found a place in their home. And I think their whole family listens and tunes in and are growing together in Christ. And boy, what a testimony that is. Yes. And I love what Teresa said about praying that many others will become partners with Basic Gospel. This is listener-supported radio. You know, there's a lot of talk shows that are out there on the market, and they are being sponsored by, you know, commercial entities and that sort of thing. So they're not having to pay for airtime, but we have to pay for airtime. So it's kind of crazy that we invest time, energy, and money simply to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would be so grateful for others to join with us, because the world really needs to know. And if you want to be a part of the solution, not just part of analyzing the problems, but part of the solution, delivering the good news of Jesus Christ, the one message that can change human hearts, then we ask you to partner with us. It is a wonderful outreach. And as you listen to the broadcast, as you come to conferences, as you read books, as you hear emails from, you know, Teresa and people like her, then you can see the dividends of your investment, how God is using those dollars to impact lives, to change hearts, to unlock chains so that people can experience true freedom in Christ Jesus. So if that's something that's of interest to you, we encourage you to take a look at basicgospel.net, click the support link, and become a partner with Basic Gospel today.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, as you have said so many times, and I would like to reiterate, this is the just a few days left before the end of our fiscal year, and so we encourage our listeners to become a part of that this month. So that we can not only just stand static as a ministry, but move forward into a new fiscal year with the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And we have this wonderful $25,000 matching gift grant that has been offered. So if you give today, your $100 is actually doubled. It's like giving $200. If you give $1,000, it's like giving $2,000. And we need gifts like that to really meet our year-end goal of $199,510 by June 30th. We're about halfway to that point, so we just need some more people to stand with us. So if you can do that before June 30th, we would be very grateful, as well as the many thousands of people that tune in each and every day.
And those who will hear it in the future.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to go there right now, basicgospel.net. There's a donate link on every page at that website. Also, you can call our operator, Billy. She would love to hear from you right now, as a matter of fact, and she's on duty at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. Well, guys, a question from Patricia, who lives in Arlington, Texas, listens on the Word FM here in the Dallas area. She says, please help me understand this. I hear that when we die, we are immediately present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, or Philippians 1, 23. However, she says, these verses don't actually say we will immediately be in the presence of the Lord. It states our desires are to be with the Lord, for we know that that is better for us. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 9, 10 clearly state that the dead know nothing. There is no knowledge or wisdom in the grave. And there are various other passages that refer to death as sleep. My questions are, what then is the purpose of resurrection if we are already in the presence of the Lord, and what is there to resurrect?
Well, I think the key passage that we need to look at is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Richard, you've just been reviewing that over the last couple of weeks. And one of the things that we see in that particular passage is the return of Christ. So Paul is talking about the fact that there is a day in the future that Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's not going to return alone. He's going to bring people with him, those who have fallen asleep in Christ. So he's setting the stage and giving some encouragement for those who are here. And he's trying to address their concerns about those who have fallen asleep in Christ. And he says that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring with them those who have fallen asleep. They're going to get their resurrected bodies at that point. Those who are still here, they're going to get their resurrected bodies at that point. Uh-huh. And we're all going to be together, and we're going to be with the Lord forever.
Yes. And the beauty of this is that what God is doing in eternity, we don't know. But we know that he is going to step back into time where we live currently, and he's going to bring eternity with him, which means all those people who were dead get to come with him. And the writer, the person who wrote the question, is correct. The Bible doesn't say that all of these people who have died and are asleep in Christ are up wandering around in heaven wondering why Richard isn't behaving well. That's not it at all. That is a pagan idea.
Yeah, leave that to us here.
Yeah. Yeah. How else do you explain when Paul says we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies in the book of Ephesians? There's clearly a difference between our time where we live, bound by time, and eternity where God lives, where he is not bound by time. He controls time. And so rather than try to pick and choose which Bible passages we're going to believe, take the whole thing and say, Lord, which ones of these refer to our timeline? For example, the dead don't know anything because all we are is a dead body in the ground, but we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. That must be an eternity thing, something different than what we're accustomed to dealing with now. But whatever the confusion, we can rest assured that when Jesus returns, everyone's going to be together with him.
Yeah.
Even those of us who are alive and remain are resurrected, if you will, because this flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. So we're resurrected to a glorified body. Those who died in Christ are given their glorified bodies, and we all rise to meet him in the air. And, you know, what else can you say but hallelujah? Yeah.
So no soul sleep associated with those who are in Christ.
Absolutely. No. Other aspect about that, you know, God is the God of the living, not
yes.
the God of the dead.
That's
well, who
right.
are the living? Those who have come to Christ by faith.
Uh-huh.
Even though this body dies, I'm still alive in Christ.
Christ. Yes.
And once that happens, I'm always alive in Christ. I'm just absent from the body for a period of time.
Yes.
But as far as going into the realm of eternity, you know, time kind of takes on a whole different ballgame.
Yes.
So it's something that's a little mind-boggling for us. So realize that if you're in Christ, Christ is in you today.
Correct.
And when you're absent from the body, nothing's going to change. You're just going to be in his presence.
Uh-huh.
As Jesus said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. So
yes.
where is he? Where's the thief? He is with Jesus in paradise.
Yes.
Where are we going to be? With Jesus in paradise. That's good news.
That is good news. So, friends, the question, how have you seen God's love demonstrated in your life leading to peace and contentment? We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Plenty of lines available right now. Plenty of time on the clock remaining. Call quickly, though, 844-322-2742.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to April in
Lubbock, Texas.
Hi, April. You're on the line.
Hi. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic. How are you out there in Lubbock, Texas?
Hot, hot, hot.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can relate.
Well, I was calling you guys about Hebrews 6 today.
April, speak up just a little bit louder for us.
Okay. Let me move a little bit. I'm calling you about Hebrews 6:6.
Okay. Okay.
And essentially in my walk, I had a great relationship with God and was led by the Holy Spirit. But then I decided to use drugs again. And Hebrews 6:6, I read it the other day, and I was just really kind of taken aback because he says, and then have fallen away to be restored again to repentance. Who has tasted the good of the word and of God and the powers of the coming age, and those who have fallen away to be restored again to repentance because they themselves are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to open shame.
Yeah, those are pretty frightening words, aren't they?
Yes, they really are.
Yeah, and it's easy to read those and become scared and frightened to the point that you think maybe you've lost salvation, you know, you've crossed a line and it's just impossible to come back. And let us help you with that today, April, because I think we have some good news to share with you. And I want to start today and talk about your own personal relationship with Christ. Was there a point in time when you really trusted Jesus for what he did for you through his death on the cross, the fact that he died for your sins, the fact that he was raised from the dead so that you could have everlasting life. Have you received Jesus Christ into your life?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And in the time that I was sober for the year, I got really, really close to Jesus and just his grace for me, because I have done so many bad things. So many that just cannot be talked about, because, I mean, I've been a drug user for over 10 years, and even was doing IV drug use. And, you know, I got really close to him, and I tasted the beauty of Christ and what he did for me on the cross. And then I chose to use again and go back into that way. And now I'm stuck.
You're wondering if,
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened to you over a year ago when you trusted Christ. So you had your story. You were fighting drugs. You had come to the end of yourself. Somebody reached out to you, told you about Jesus. Something resonated in your heart. You responded and said, "Yes, I want to believe." And
right.
Okay, now that's kind of the story from your side of the equation. Now let's look at what God did at that very moment, okay? So when you believed, here's what happened. You were born again of the Spirit. So John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus described that as crossing over from death to life. So you were dead spiritually. That's why you felt an emptiness inside. That's why you just knew that something deep inside of you was wrong. Something was missing. There was this big hole. Well, that was, you were missing life. You were missing Jesus. And then when you heard that gospel, you were born again, and now God sent His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to take up residence in you. Okay? So now you're a child of God. You're born again. Okay, you're fully alive in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has promised this, that he has put you in his hand, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. And his hand is in God the Father's hand, and certainly no one can snatch anything out of the Father's hand. So there's a sense of security that is going on right there, that Jesus is taking care of you. He's protecting you. He has claimed you as his very own. And then he sent his Spirit to live inside of you with the promise that the Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? So
I'm still dependent on medication, and I just seem to pray and I pray and I pray for freedom, and he just doesn't seem to be answering.
Okay. Well, I think what he wants you to know is that you really belong, that you are really one of his. He wants to give you some assurance. He really wants to put a solid rock underneath you on which you can stand. Okay? Right now you're kind of on shifting sands. And so one moment you feel okay about yourself, the next moment you're not sure if God loves you, you're not sure if you're even saved. You're thinking and reading this Hebrews 6:6 that this applies to you, that you just can't come back and be saved again, that your history. So you're on shifting sands, aren't you? So what God wants you to be is on a solid rock. An unmovable, unshakable, solid rock. And the only way to stand on that is to get your eyes on Jesus and exactly what he's accomplished for you. So I'm going to ask you some questions. When Jesus died, how many of your sins did he die for?
All of them.
Are you sure? Every single one of them?
Every single one, even the most horrible one.
Okay. So when he died, whose punishment did he take for those sins?
He took my punishment.
How much of it?
All of it.
So is there any punishment left for you now that you're in Christ?
No, there's not. Thank the Lord.
Okay. That's something to thank the Lord for, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay? Now, if you wake up every day thanking the Lord for the fact that he has taken away all of your sins and that you stand before him as a forgiven person, you're going to be standing on that solid rock. You got that?
Yes.
Okay? So there's no more punishment. All of your punishment went upon Jesus. So were your sins judged?
They were judged, yes.
Okay.
But
were they
interceded?
Yes, yes. So God did all of that work in regards to your sins. He took them away once and for all, and he remembers them no more. So April, because you're in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. You stand before God forgiven and clean. Is that good news?
And that is good news, and I just forget about that sometimes.
Okay.
In the midst of this, I just forget.
Well, and the reason we forget, April, is because we have an enemy. And so the enemy doesn't want you to stand on that solid rock. And so he's going to accuse you. He's going to say things, and you're going to think it's you yourself thinking this, that how could I call myself a Christian and give in to drugs again and slip up and take drugs again? How could I call myself a Christian? Well, when those thoughts come into your mind, you just have to tell Satan to go somewhere else. Because those are lies. You were saved by the grace of God. Your sins have been wiped away. They've been punished once and for all. You are a forgiven person and fully alive in Jesus Christ. Okay?
Okay.
So this passage in Hebrews 6:6 doesn't apply to you. See, it uses the words tasted the goodness. What's happened to you is you have ingested Christ. Christ is down at the very core of who you are. You didn't get just a little taste of him and then decide, hey, I don't want Jesus, and you went back to something else. You actually fully believed, and in fully believing, you were made fully alive, and now you fully belong to Jesus forever.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. So these were people who saw the goodness of God in the lives of others. They heard the goodness of God explained. They even may have had a little taste of it, and yet they came to a point and said, I don't want Jesus. To the point that if they had been there the day that Pilate brought Jesus out to the people, they all yelled, crucify, they would have been standing there yelling, crucify, 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 just like those people were. Now, you're not doing that, are you?
No way.
No. You are so grateful for the work of Christ. There's an attitude of thankfulness inside of you. Let that attitude of thankfulness just grow and grow and grow, and you'll be standing on a solid rock of assurance, and that's going to equip you to say no when temptations come your way in the future.
Okay.
Does that make sense, April?
Thankful. I will be having a thankful spirit going forward. Very thankful.
Yeah. Well, let me.
That's what I haven't had yet. So. I need to do some changes and be more grateful.
Yeah. Well, April, here's what I want to do. I'm going to send you a CD called Drive the Stake, which I want you to listen to. Then I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think those will be a big help to you.
Thank
and we're you, so, we're so yeah. grateful for yeah. your call today.
Yes.
You hang on the line, April. Sure. We'll get your information and send those resources to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank friends, a quick reminder that the end of our fiscal year is only a few days away. The need for Basic Gospel to move into the new year, as I said earlier, not just standing still, but with an urgency to reach more hurting people who need to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. We have received a $25,000 matching gift, meaning that every dollar you give will be doubled. Your $20 gift becomes $40. Your $100 gift becomes $200. Your gift is doubled. It counts double this month. So please help as much as you can by clicking donate at basicgospel.net or by calling 844-412-2742. That's 844-412-2742. What a wonderful opportunity to make your gift count double in this month of June. Well, for Bob and Richard and ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.